want to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting tonight. Many here that I know, but there's some I don't know. But I want you to know that God knows you. He knows your heart, and He knows why you're here tonight. Perhaps you're invited to be here by some friend. I want to tell you that you couldn't be in any better place on earth. Believe that? It's true. Wherever the Word of God is proclaimed, you have the privilege of sitting under the sound of it and listening to it. And I trust that you'll not only listen to it, but that you'll be a doer of the Word as well, as a hearer of it. And that if you're here in your sins tonight, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would urge you to listen to the words that are being spoken tonight. And not the words of the speaker, but from this book, from the Word of God. For it is the living Word of God, and it's a book that will be forever open in heaven. It's open here tonight, and it will be forever open in heaven. And by thy words thou wilt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And this is the living Word of God, and what you do with this will determine your eternal destiny. Solemn thing to think about, that there could be such importance in one book between two covers as we have here tonight. I want you to solemnly think about it. And each one of us, whether we are saint or sinner, we have a responsibility to listen to this book, don't we? And to act according to it, and to let it have its power over our lives and our hearts. Let's begin our meeting tonight by singing number 6 in our hymn sheet. God, in mercy, sent His Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. All who in His name believe, everlasting life receive. Lord of all is Jesus, now every knee to Him must bow. I trust you will bow the knee tonight if you haven't already. Number 6. God in mercy sent His Son. Turn with me for a verse in 1 Corinthians. chapter 16. Verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Do you know what that means? Anathema, Maranatha. Let him be accursed at the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. Let him be accursed, anathematized at the coming of the Lord. And you know, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." And saints in this room, everyone that trusts in the Lord Jesus, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, is waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. That is the next important event that is going to take place in this world. The last one was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. All other events that have taken place have been secondary to that great event, that center of two eternities, where none other than the blessed Son of God, who humbled himself and came down into this world, who said, "Here am I, send me." When that council took place in that bygone eternity, and there was man in all his sin, without a Savior, unable to help himself, and there was that council between God and his Son. "Who will go for us?" was the question. And the answer was, "Here am I, send me." We're told in the book of Proverbs that his delights were with the sons of men. That is, God had a special interest in you and in me before this world ever began. Is that beyond you? It's beyond this poor mind of mine to even conceive. But it's true that God loved me before I was even here. He had it marked out for me long ago. And my friend, tonight you are in this room, and this same one that spoke to my soul and gave me light, brought light into my dark soul a number of years ago as a young child, wants to bring light into your soul tonight. He wants to make you a member of his family. Perhaps you are sitting here as one who has heard the sound of the gospel many, many times before. Perhaps your parents are at the Lord's table. Am I talking to someone here like that tonight who has never loved the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Are those pretty severe words? You mean he would curse us at his coming? Me? I haven't done anything wrong. I live in a good Christian home. And you can go on and say, "Lord, I am not like other men are, just like the man in Luke's gospel. I'm not like this man is." And in your own eyes you think you're pretty good and without any sin. Anything too bad at least to be cursed at the coming of the Lord. When the judgment of God falls upon this world, as sure as you and I are sitting here tonight, that judgment is going to fall. For God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one whom you must love if you're going to go to see Him. There's only two places. The Word of God tells is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Anathema, Maranatha. Solemn words. But you know, the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This man up here speaking to you tonight is no exception. For the Word of God has told me that I, by nature and by practice, was a sinner, and I needed a Savior. And that same word goes out to you tonight too, that you are sitting there in your seat, either in your sins or you're sitting there in Christ. One of two positions. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? I want to ask each one of you. I don't want you to put your hand up, but I want this to be a personal question. That you would find yourself sitting here tonight in the very presence of a thrice holy God whose eye is resting upon you and knows everything about you. Nothing is hid to Him. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You can go into the depths of the sea. You can go into the clouds. You can go wherever you want. And you cannot get away from Him. No, He knows all about you. And you know, there was a woman in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel who was a sinner, a great sinner. And she found herself in the presence of the Lord Jesus as He walked these dusty streets of this world as the Savior of sinners, as the Son of God, as the Son of Man. And He said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldst have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." If thou knewest the givingness of God, that's the kind of God we have, my friend. One who wants to give you happiness. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a home in heaven. And this woman, when she found out in whose presence she was, she went to others and she said, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She found herself naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom she had to do. She found herself, her whole pathway, her whole life was in full review before these all-seeing eyes of that man who came here to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to unfold your soul to someone who truly loves you and who loves you just as you are. Maybe you're trying to hide from God tonight. Maybe you're trying to keep back something that you don't even want to tell Him, something only you know about in your life. Perhaps you are feeling at this very moment the burden of your sins. And you don't know where to hide. I want to encourage you, my friend. Just take them to Jesus. And tell them all about it. For we are told, you know, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them. This is the kind of Savior we have. It says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Judgment is His strange work. But you know, every one of us has been found in the same condition. And we had turned everyone to our own way. And you know, the wrath of God abides on all those who do not have the Son. Do you know that judgment is coming upon this world? Do you know that that those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus as Savior have been delivered from the wrath to come? It's coming. And it's coming as sure as the sun will rise in this world tomorrow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you reap to your flesh, you will also of the flesh also reap destruction. And so you sit here tonight, my friend, with the eye of God upon you. And He knows all about you. He loves you. And He wants to save you. What do you want to do about it? Are you not uneasy in His presence? When you know that here is someone who knows all about you, just think of a person, a peer of yours who might know certain things about you. You're very uneasy in His presence. You can't face them. You can't meet their eye. What would it be like? What is it like? What will it be like to stand before one who knows everything, every detail of your life, everything you have ever done, every thought you have ever thought, one who knows you completely through and through, and He wants to save you, and you say, no. If a man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. God has done everything that He can. There's nothing more He can give. Story was told. I don't know that I can get all the details, but I would like to give this little illustration just as well as best I can to illustrate what God has done. There were a couple that went down as missionaries to a land, I believe it was New Guinea. It was at a place where they practiced cannibalism, and this was less than 50 years ago. And they practiced cannibalism. And this couple took a little 18-month baby down into that area, and they tried to bring the gospel to these people. A very scary situation, because you never knew what would happen from one moment to the next. He found that these people had no word in their language for love. They couldn't understand the concept. And he tried to bring before them the love of God. He couldn't reach them. It just didn't faze them. He labored with them. I'm not sure just the time, what the time element was, but for a good amount of time. He found out that these people practiced friendliness, and they would befriend a certain person, and they had ulterior motives for it. And they would take that person and they would show themselves to be the friendliest, just as friendly as can be, patting them on the back and inviting them to their little social circles. And just when his guard was down, they would murder him. They would murder him in cold blood. They had no concept of affection towards one another, of love or compassion. They just had a burning desire to find somebody and lull them into a false security, and then whammo, they would kill them. We have an enemy like that who has allurements for you and for me. He dangles the carrot before you and he invites you to partake of it. He's the God and Prince of this world. And he did this to Adam and Eve in the garden. And they partook of the fruit that was on that tree and plunged the whole creation, the whole Adam creation into what we have today, into sin, degradation, sorrow, everything that is a result of it. Disobedience to God. So we have an enemy that does the same thing. And just when you think you're happy, just when you think you're at ease and at peace, all of a sudden, you're ensnared. So this couple didn't know what to do. And these people lived in trees. They built their houses about sometimes almost 100 feet in the air. These trees were so huge, and it was because of their enemy. I can see why they would do it, couldn't you? At least they'd find a little safety up there. But they built their houses way up there, and they never bothered this man and his wife, but they just could not get through with the gospel. One day he was up on this platform, and he was in this hut with one of the natives, and all of a sudden there was a great commotion outside. And he went out there, and there was a man with a little child here and a man with a little child there, and they were coming towards each other. And there was wailing, and there was crying, and all of a sudden, from the crowd, the mother would run out and grab that child and take him back again. Just couldn't see it happen. He says, "What's happening here?" He said, "They're trying to produce peace between these two tribes, and the only way they can do it is with a peace child." And so this went on for some time, and finally another man came forth with his little boy, and he presented him to the other man, and that other man gave his son to him. They exchanged sons forever. It was the peace child. And he said, what are they doing? And he said, "This is the only way that they can bring peace in that tribe. And never again can they have war with each other." They understood that. They understood the importance of losing a little child, their little child. And he said, "That's it." And he said, "This is what God did for you." He said, "I've been trying to tell you this all this time." And the light dawned on him that this was the secret to being able to bring the gospel to these people. And he began to use their own illustration of the peace child. And he said, "This is God's peace child to you. God loved you so much. And you had been at enmity against Him. And He wants to bring peace into your life. God so loved you that He gave His own peace child for you, that you might be at peace with Him and that you might go to live with Him." He had to bring it down to simple, simple language. But they got it. They got the picture. And from that moment, souls began to be saved. And that whole tribe was just brought in peace. And there's such a change came over that whole tribe as one by one, they began to come to the Lord Jesus, because they saw that illustration of how much this God so loved them that He could give His only child, His only begotten Son. And I say to you tonight, my friend, the same words that you've heard before, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means you, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel, in a nutshell, never changes, it never gets any different, because God has put His seal to it. He said, "There's nothing more I can do for you than this. What more can I give than my own Son?" Perhaps they will reverence Him. But what did man do when he came into this world? they said, "Come, this is the heir. Let us kill him." And so the Lord Jesus came unto his own, which were the people of Israel, the Jews at that time. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege, the liberty to be called the children, the sons of God. You want to be called a child of God tonight? You know you're a child of the devil if you're not. The Word of God looks at you as an unbeliever, as a child of disobedience. One who wants to go his own way. One who has nothing to do with God. One who who fulfills the lusts and the desires of the flesh. The fulfilling of these things that only end in death and judgment. Is that your future? You dear young people, I don't know what's going on in your heart or in your life. I don't know anything about it, but I know that God knows. And He looks down into your heart, each one of your lives right now, and He knows what's going on. And He knows that that Satan is desirous of having you. And if you don't belong to Christ right now, then you are an enemy of God, and you are a servant and a slave of Satan, because to whom you yield yourselves member, or a servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom you obey. And if you obey Satan, if you obey sin, you're a servant of Satan. But if you've come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can become a bond slave of His. What's a bond slave? Well, you know the story of the little, you've perhaps heard the story of the little slave. I'm sure it's not new to anybody here, but I'll tell it again. Of the little slave girl who's on the market, and she was to be sold. And they were bidding for her and bidding for her, and the price was going up, and there was a man there who kept bidding the price higher and higher and higher. And finally, she was sold to this man. And she came to him trembling. And he said, "Dear, I have bought you to set you free." That's redemption, you know. That's redemption. Redemption isn't just being bought back again, but it's being bought back to set us free. She said, "Oh, Master, I'll serve you forever." That's a bondservant. And you know, it's not a case of being serving someone to in order because of you're under bondage, but because you love the Master, because you want to serve Him forever because of what He has done. He paid the price to set her free, and no matter what it was, the higher the price, the more it meant to her. You know, and if you are a 50 pence debtor, you're just as much a debtor as a 500 pence debtor. And you know, the Lord Jesus paid the price to set you free. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know, do you feel in your soul that what He has done, He did for you? Do you feel it? Do you see the Lord Jesus there at Calvary's cross, hanging there, nailed to that cross by His own creature, who said, "Away with Him, we will not have this man to reign over us." He came to do good, and He did those many, many miracles in the sight of all men. And there's so many miracles that the Word of God tells us that the world itself cannot contain the books that might be written of the mighty works that He had done in His few short years here as a man on earth. And these same people that He did these mighty works to could say, "Away with Him." He came, went across to the land of the Gadarenes, and there was a man who was possessed with an evil spirit. and he delivered him from this evil spirit, sent those spirits down into the hogs, the pigs, and they went running down into the deep and they were drowned. And the people of the land said, get out of our coasts, our pigs. That's in effect what they were saying. They didn't want him, and yet they saw these mighty works. Are you sitting here tonight and you see the Lord Jesus hanging upon the cross? And he looks down, as it were, from at you from that cross, and he says, behold and see if there be any sorrow like my sorrow. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Are you passing by the cross tonight? And you see the Lord Jesus hanging there, and you're amongst those who sat down and watched him there and mocked him. Or does it mean anything to you as you pass by that this is Jesus of Nazareth, the one who came to save, to be your Savior? You know, the book of Isaiah says that there is no other God like me. He says, a just God and a Savior. The two in the one person. Isn't that wonderful? You think of God as one who wants to judge. A just God. And you know, when God judges this world, all the universe, including the things under the earth, will have to acknowledge that God was just and God was righteous in doing it. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We read in the book of Revelation that when that last vile judgment is about to be, I believe it is, the vile judgment is about to be pronounced, there's silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. Can you imagine what this is telling us? God does not want to judge. But to be a just God, he must judge sin. And he will judge. And so he's a just God. I would not be a righteous and a just judge if I were to let you off free before my court for something you had done without paying the price. Would I? I might be very kind. You might say, oh, he's a very kind judge, he let me off. But I wouldn't be a just God, a judge. But if I should bring my son out and say, son, pay the price. This man has nothing to pay it with. And my son pays the price. He pays the price for that crime, whatever it might be. And now the payment has been made, and I can set this man free. The payment has been made. Now I can be just. But to set him free without a judgment, a payment being made, would not be just, nor would it be righteous. And how can a God who judges this world not judge it in righteousness? How could he be a just God and a righteous God and a judge if he would let you go free without paying a penalty for your sins? But we have nothing to pay, you say. I can't pay it. No, but the price has been paid. And I want to tell you, God has given you his peace child. Do you accept it? Are you interested tonight? Just think now, as we stop and think about this verse that we started with. Think of what God has done. Is he righteous in judging you if you don't love what the Lord Jesus Christ? He loves his son, and he knows what his son has done. He knows the price that was paid on Calvary. And he knows how much it means to him. And you know, if not one sinner came to Christ, in this whole world, God would have been glorified in the death of His Son. The only man that ever walked upon this world, the face of this earth, that God could look down upon and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He can't say that about you or me. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to see the just, the good and the evil. And what does He see? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. They're altogether become unprofitable. And so, what is God going to do? Well, He sent His only begotten Son into this world to pay the price in order that He might have you and me with Him. In order that He might bring many sons to glory. Very soon now, the Lord Jesus is coming back again. Do you love Him? I say again, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Is that your position? Oh, He doesn't want that, you know. He's done everything He can for you. Everything possible. Won't you come to Him now tonight? Why halt ye between two opinions, someone in the Word of God has said? Why halt ye between two opinions? And is that where you are tonight? You know, you can't fool God, because you can go out of this room as you came in, and He knows all about you. He knows that you are still in your sins. He knows that those sins will take you down to hell unless you accept what He has done for you. You can't hide from God. Come to Him now. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Just think of what God has done for you and what He has done for me. Doesn't that bring out the love? Doesn't that cause you to love what He has done, to love our Lord Jesus Christ? Just look at that word, the Lord. What is the Lord? It's one who you are responsible to. Jesus was the man who walked on this face of this earth, God-man, God manifest in the flesh, and Christ. That's the position that God has given Him. The anointed one. He's the one that's coming back again, and He's going to take His rightful place. If we would read, I want to read just a few verses in Revelation chapter 16. There's too much in the book of Revelation to go over in the few minutes that we have, but just to give us a little idea what the wrath of God is going to be like. Do you and I, my dear friend, tonight, ever stop to consider what the wrath of God is going to be like in this world? Have we? If you were to sit down for one moment and just get a little glimpse of what that would be like, you would tremble in your seat, I guarantee you. It would make you tremble to think that you could be upon this earth when God pours out that judgment upon this world for the rejection of His Son. Let's just read a few things here. I just select chapter 16 of Revelation. We'll just go over it quickly. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. Didn't I tell you that this world, the whole universe, would say amen to that holy, righteous judgment? For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. That's the end of the tribulation period. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, 55 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. We won't go any further. I just want to read this because it is so vivid and so awful. When we think that this world in which you and I find our place right now, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You love this world so much you don't want to let it go. I tell you, it's going to be taken from you. And you'll have nothing, you will lose that which you rejected. You have the opportunity now to accept God's offer of salvation. And you will escape the wrath that is coming upon this world. Am I making this sound too awful? Is this too vivid for you? My friend, God makes it vivid. And He is anxious for you to be saved. God is love. And so He sent His Son. But God is holy. So He will judge the world in righteousness by that same man. Oh, my friend, don't tamper with the things of God. Don't tamper with the truth of God, with this book. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. How often have you heard these scriptures? How often have you been sitting in a gospel meeting where the entreaty was the same? Come, the Lord Jesus says. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that is the entreaty that goes out to you tonight and will continue to go out as long as we are left here in this world. But once that door is shut, God said in the days of Noah, My spirit shall not always strive with men. And you know, there was an extension, shall we say, put on to the life of man there, yet 120 years. And in the 120 years was up, yet 7 days. God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he waited, and he waited, yet 7 days. And then he closed the door when they went into the ark. And then he sent the judgment, the flood. And it was so awful and so great, it changed the face of the whole earth. When the fountains of the deep were opened up and the heavens were opened, what a tumult there was. What an upheaval. And the earth today shows the effects of what took place at that time. But man was judged for his rejection of the testimony that went out from the mouth of Noah at that time. Every nail that he put on that ark, every board he put in place, everything that took place, they watched him there. And that was a testimony to them as he built. Until the day came when Noah went into the ark and all his house, and God shut the door. That could be tonight, my friend. For as it was in the days of Noah, shall it be, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate and they drank, they married, they gave in marriage until the day when Noah went into the ark. And that's what it's going to be. It's going on in the same way today. You see, all things, as they say, and as it says in Peter, that all things continue as they were from the foundation of the world. Where is the promise of his coming, they say. And they mock. But you know, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to believe him. Do you believe what he says? Do you believe the Lord Jesus? Do you believe what God says? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death into life, unto life. Just like Noah. The door was shut, Noah was in the ark, and it rose above the floods of that time, and they were safe, and they came out onto a new earth. My friend, you and I have an ark, and his name is Jesus. God has provided it for your safety and mine. Why don't you come on board now? And then you can say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be said of you then, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let those words sink into your soul, my friend. Let them mean something to you. The wrath of God abideth upon you otherwise, and they shall not escape. When the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told, shall come with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the power of his glory. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Oh, my friend, what a day is awaiting for this world. It's an awful, awful day that is awaiting. But it will come. It will come. And it may be tonight. But oh, on the other hand, what a glorious day is awaiting for those who love our Lord Jesus Christ and will not be anathematized at his coming, but will be taken out of this scene into the very presence of him who loved them and gave himself for them. Is that your portion, my friend? I trust it is of everyone in this room. You dear young children, young people, have you closed in? What are you doing with Jesus? Are you making him your Savior? Have you made him your Savior by trusting in him? Are you making him your Lord of your life? Do you know you're going to spend eternity with him if you love him? Live for him now. But you know, if you don't love him, you'll spend eternity with the devil and his angels. I hate to say that even. I don't like that. But it's true. That God has prepared a place for the devil and his angels, not for you. But if you love not our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be judged at His coming. And you will have to spend your eternity where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where that old serpent, the devil, who deceived Adam and Eve in the garden so many years ago, is going to meet his doom. And you will be there with him. You don't have to be. It's not prepared for you. God loves you. Remember, God so loved this world that he gave his peace child for you, that you might be at peace, having made peace by the blood of his cross. Oh, there's so many scriptures that we could turn to, but I do trust that tonight enough has been said that will make you realize the jeopardy that you stand in right now without Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus now, and he'll save you forever and forever. Shall we sing number 4? Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me, shedding his blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. Number 4 on your hymn sheet. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. For long I was chained in darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding his blood.